Now, if you get in a motor car and drive across the border from Nigeria and you fall asleep, you're likely to pass through the République Populaire du Bénin. And if you stay asleep for a little bit longer, you'll be through Togo very quickly and you'll be arriving at the country of origin of our last speaker, which is the wonderful, wonderful land of Ghana. I actually did that once. I was going to visit Nkrumah's grave. That in those days was by the on the shore, actually, it was by the seaside. And of course, Ghana now has returned him to his rightful place at the heart of the nation. Now, Joseph Mensah is professor in the Department of Geography and Social Science at the moment in York University. And he's director of the Tubman Institute for Research on the Global Migration of African Peoples. And I think it's wonderful that we've got somebody with this knowledge, because the more I listen to the conference, the more I can see the role of African diasporas is so important. I mean, if ever there are key interventions, it's African diasporas intervening and playing a role in the life of their country that maybe their father or their grandfathers left. And he's written a fascinating book on Black Canadians' history, experience, and social conditions. He's kind of the envy of any academic. He seems to be getting research grants from everywhere you can think of: the Gates Foundation, Global Development Network, Humanities Research Council of Canada. And it's lovely that we're able to extend across West Africa with Professor Mensah talking about his experience both here as in Canada and the wider African experience.
Thank you very much, Ian. Is this working? No, maybe I should go there. Thank you very much, everybody. I'm the last speaker, and I hope it's not the least of the presentations. In the interest of time, I'm going to break my presentation up into three main components. The first is just to give some theoretical context. As academic scholars, we tend to do that. The second, zero in on Africa, and then give some specific case studies. The topic that I've been given is basically to assess geopolitics and Christianity in Africa. Okay. The first theorization that I want to draw your attention to is the fact that geopolitics, obviously, we geographers, we see geopolitics as any attempt to examine power by implicating geographic variables. In other words, you are looking at land, resources, you can extend it to human geography, religion, immigration. As soon as you infuse this into global or international relations, then of course you got geopolitics. Now, what you have to keep in mind is simply this. If you pay attention, you realize that geopolitics and religion, they have had more or less some seesaw relationship, or if you want, more or less some zero-sum game going on. Prior to the nation-state that we have now, prior to the Westphalian state ideology of 1648, religion was the key. Power was basically consolidated around religion. The prelates, the religious leaders, they were the power. And when the nation-state was solidified, all of a sudden, religion dropped. Okay, since the nation-state and sovereignty, I mean territoriality gain attention, religion drop. Okay, but as you look along, in fact, anytime you have religion being asserted, there is an attempt to take out territorial distinctions. If you bring in religion, then any discourse will take out territorial distinctions. But if you bring geopolitics, then territorial distinctions will become very eminent. Okay? So, in other words, if you are a geopolitician and as soon as you go into that direction, then of course, territorial distinction becomes the source of your power. Now, a good case would be a case of, say, Jesus. I mean, supposed to talk about Christianity, so let me use Jesus' case. when he was accused, was asserting that he was the king of the Jewish people. He did not deny that he said that he was the king of the Jewish people. But what did he say? That my kingdom is not of this world. In other words, he take away the territorial distinction. Really, he doesn't care about territories. His territorial distinction is in the world. You can have so many scenarios whereby religion going up, and then you have geopolitics going down. Geopolitics going up, the religion going down. Take the case of a recent globalization. One can argue that with globalization, the nation state is being undermined. You have people crossing borders, cyberspatial connectivity, electronic mediation. I mean, people, you can't even control your borders that much. Okay? So as long as the borders, territorial power is being reduced, what do you find? You have religion going up. You have religion going up. That is why we have a lot of religion. So that is one of the theoretical grounding that I want to leave with you. The second, I'm supposed to talk about Christianity. But keep in mind, you cannot talk about Christianity without talking about Islam or other religions. They are all really interrelated. If there is a conflict, it's mostly you can have intra-Christian faith conflict. But of course, the major ones are between Christianity or maybe say Islam or other religions. So there's no way you can talk about one exclusively. Now, you can also keep in mind, in the context of Africa in particular, in fact, even globally, religion discourse is always interconnected with resources, ethnicity, a whole bunch of other connections. And in fact, in the African context, they all weave down into the issue of development. Really, there's no way you can deal with that without development. They are all nested in the issue of development. What you will see is a situation where as soon as it becomes foreign policy, then, of course, the advanced countries will try to use foreign aid, for instance, to move some policies around. So it has a lot to do with development and development impetus. Now, let me zero in closely to the African context. If you remember the scatter plot that Brian Graham put on, very often in conferences like this, anytime we hear sub-Saharan Africa, it will be an example of something really bad. I mean, just some people just use a generic example. Oh, just like if you go to Africa, which part of Africa, they don't know. But just itself a generic example of anything that is bad. If you paid attention, on that scatter plot, sub-Saharan Africa, for once, was doing very well. And that was not emphasized. That was not, following North America, sub-Saharan Africa was the best when you talk about social hostilities and government restrictions. If you look at the map, but that was not emphasized. The point in all this is that religion is really doing well. And most of the tensions and conflict that are going on, of course, in the case of Nigeria, it happens to be a big country. So it becomes very unique. As a geographer, let me attempt to put you through some mental map here. If you take the north, you can start from Morocco, Algeria, Libya, Egypt. Of course, mostly they are all Islamic religions coming down. Western Sahara, Mauritania, Mali, Niger, Chad, Sudan, and of course you go to Eritrea and Ethiopia. Getting down is mostly also Islamic. But when you get down to the west coast from Senegal through Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Ghana, and you're going, then it becomes a mixture. That is why Nigeria, for one, has 50-50 split. In fact, Ghana, it is predominantly Christian. But indeed, we still have a lot of Islamic community down there. The point in all this is simply that in the African context, the main religion, if you take the totality of the continent of about 54 countries, I mean, talking about UN membership, the largest religion is Islam. But if you talk about the sub-Sahara, in other words, south of the Sahara, then the largest will turn out to be Christianity. Now, religion is having a resurgence in Africa. There is no two ways about that. In fact, this Dutch scholar, Gary Tahir. Recently, 2009, came out with the book, When God Became African. Yeah, that is the extent of religious resurgence going on. Some specific case studies that I want to leave with you. First, in terms of geopolitics, religion, let's take the case of Uganda. I'm just going to run through some few countries. When my time is getting there, then I'll leave time for, yeah. Uganda, recently as 2009, came out with a law trying to basically persecute gay people. In fact, there, they call it kill the gays bill, put forward by some member of parliament. Of course, Uganda is predominantly Anglican. And with this law, they are trying to extend, the punishment for gay people, not only imprisonment, which used to be 14 years in jail. The law, the bill, is extending it to be life imprisonment or, in part, death. Okay? So what I'm trying to say is that this is obviously religious related, mostly the Anglicans in Uganda. And in terms of global geopolitics, there's a whole bunch of uproar. Uganda, of course, is part of the Commonwealth. At the last Commonwealth meeting and the subsequent ones, or previous ones, the Prime Minister of Britain, Harper, everybody was actually arguing for them to drop the law. So in 2012, they took away the death penalty. The point is that most of these powers are actually using foreign aid to pressure them to change the law. So you have religion, foreign aid, development all mixed up together. Let's move on to the case of, let me see here, I can take the case of Sudan. Sudan recently, 2011, got a referendum, 98% voted to separate, to split the country into two. So now we have North Sudan with the main Sudan, capital of Khartoum, and then you have the Southern Sudan, Juba, being the capital. Now, what is the geopolitics and religion here? The split that I started off with will hit Sudan, so that in the north is predominantly Islamic. In the south is Christian. Mixed up with this is oil. The oil borderlines were not sorted out carefully. In fact, the oil-rich area is in the south. But during the partitioning, they sort of put a line in a situation where you have some of the ethnic group that actually are aligned to the south, caught up in the north. And that is where the oil is really settled. And in fact, that was not sorted. They should have sorted it out before the partitioning. So now that is more or less something just waiting to explode. It's still ongoing. And of course, Bashir, the president of the North, and a whole bunch of our attention has been drawn to that country, whereby you have the religious Islam, Christians, oil, all mixed up in an impending conflict or consistent pain. In fact, the Sudanese case, it is estimated about 200,000 people have already been displaced. Now, we can pick up the case of HIV/AIDS. Africa. And let's see how the religion and geopolitics is mixing up. Africa, in terms of global population, which constitutes about 15% of the world's population. HIV/AIDS, Africa will have 69% of the HIV cases. In fact, the infection rate for adults is 0.8 for adults globally. The African rate, 4.0 for Africa. So there is no two ways about the fact that the problem is, in fact, in very, very, very unique to the African. In other words, in terms of its intensity. Now, what is going on in terms of geopolitics? We have a situation where condom use is being criticized by some religious groups. The condom, obviously, is not a natural way of contraceptive, so it shouldn't be encouraged. So you have the Catholic Church is against it. You have some Catholics against change, Catholics for Change, they are against the Catholic Church. You have some evangelicals in the U.S. also against the use of condom. So that is one aspect of it. Then you can even extend it to the case of the pharmaceuticals. They have antiretroviral drugs, which because of patents, they won't allow the Africans to basically bring down the patents and do generic forms of these drugs. So all I'm trying to say is that in all these things, you will find a mixture of religion, foreign aid, and geopolitics mix up. The last case that I would like to talk about is family planning and population booms in Africa. Very often, when people talk about the world population flowing over, there is a tendency to presume as though Africa has the largest population. No. In fact, outside of Nigeria, which is 170 million, the whole of Africa, 54 countries put together, is only 1.1 billion people. China is more than Africa. India is more than Africa. But when it gets to family planning, there is a lot of religion, geopolitics mixing up. Again, you have the case of condom, the use of contraceptive, and this is really not that new. Those who study geography of population control, it goes back to the Reverend Thomas Robert Matthews, an essay on the population of principles of population way back in the 1700s, where he was advocating for population concern about population, but took out obviously contraceptive because of his theological background. Okay, so now you have a situation where you have population controls with people like Harding, Garrett Harding, Paul Ehrlich, arguing for abortions and all those things, with others against it. So in all, the point is simply this. Religion cannot be spoken of alone. It is mixed with development and, more importantly, with geopolitics. Thank you.